The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Let's pause a moment and talk about what just happened ritually here during Mass. We do it regularly. In fact, almost every Sunday we process with the Book of the Gospels. Frequently we incense, but we rarely reflect on or speak about what this actually means. And today, being specifically the Sunday of the Word of God, it is a good opportunity to do that. And we begin first with a small little detail that is new to us, and it's not simply the cover, but the clasps, which hold the book closed until it is time to be used. That is not an accidental symbolism. It is not simply a matter of practicality of we want to keep the book closed. It is a recognition that there is something about the proclamation of the gospel during the liturgy, in the context of the celebration of the sacraments, which opens up its meaning for us in a way that simply reading at home doesn't quite do. And this is not to say there's no value in reading the scriptures at home. It is to say that there is something fundamentally different about the experience of sacred scripture, however, when the body of Christ gathers together and in the presence of the Lord engages these same words. The only book that is allowed to be carried in procession in the church is the book of the Gospels. Again, note what that says. We don't carry the Bible. We don't carry the full set of readings. We carry the book of the Gospels. And in privileging that particular book, the church is saying that while all scripture is inspired, there is a particular clarity, a particular intensity of speaking that we find in those texts that are dedicated to communicating the life and the mission and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. In fact, that's why at Mass it must be an ordained minister, a priest or a deacon, who announces the words of the gospel. Because for us, at the risk of scandalizing everybody, what I am holding in my hands is technically not the Word of God. However, when what I am holding in my hands is opened and is being read, especially when its words are being proclaimed in the context of Mass, we encounter the Word of God. Note the difference. Closed, I have a book. opened when the words are proclaimed and we listen with attention, the Word of God is speaking to us. And why? Because the Word of God is a person, not a book. The Word of God is not a collection of words on a page. The Word of God, the Word made flesh, enthroned in front of our ambo today, is Jesus Christ. And the high point of Revelation is Jesus. All of the words of sacred scripture are at the service of allowing us to meet, to know, and encounter Jesus. So note how wonderful that is. Just like on the altar for Mass, where we meet Jesus in the form of his body and blood, when this is open, when the words are proclaimed in a way that is, in a sense, similar to the altar, this is where we meet, we encounter, and we hear with particular clarity the Word of God, the speaking of Jesus himself. That is why when we talk about Jesus being present at Mass, we never reduce that idea of his presence just to the sacrament, strange as it is to say it in those words. Rather, we hold that first Christ is present in his body which gathers, which means you guys. Note, simply coming together in his name as his people is the very first way that Christ becomes present during the liturgy. And note what that says about each one of us, that my attentiveness makes a difference. My prayerfulness makes a difference. My willingness to participate, my willingness to meet the others who gather, makes a difference. Because in all of this, Christ becomes present. The second way that he's present at Mass is in the form of the presider, the priest, who in the person of Christ leads the body in prayer as Christ leads all of us perfectly in prayer. But then, the third way that Christ is present at Mass is when the scriptures are proclaimed and we hear them. Note how wonderful that is. And note what that says about the dignity and the beauty of that ministry we call the ministry of a lector. Those lay people dedicated, consecrated, and set aside for the task of announcing the words of sacred scripture during the liturgy. Because when those words are announced, it is not merely the lector who reads, not merely the priest or the deacon who proclaims, but in the middle of all of that, Christ begins to speak directly to us. Note how beautiful it is. We begin seated, listening attentively to the initial readings. And as we're doing so, Christ prepares to open our hearts to his fullness. As we are doing so, Christ is bringing us into his presence more fully. And then there's that moment after the second reading has been proclaimed and the incense is brought forward, blessed and prepared, and the Alleluia is sung and we all stand. Note, we change position at that moment. We change position for the gospel. Why would we stand? It is a recognition that at that moment, someone's presence becomes particularly full and particularly intense. We stand not simply to honor the gospel, we stand to greet the Lord who speaks to us. Note how marvelous, again, that is. We stand because we recognize when the words of this book are proclaimed during the liturgy, Christ is in fact
speaking. The proclamation of the gospel is on the one hand the climax of the liturgy of the word, and yet it is also a particularly intense way that Jesus is present during the Mass. This is why the proclamation is accompanied by these signs. The incense, the procession holding the book visible to everyone to see, the fact that the priest pauses in front of the altar and asks God's blessing upon him so that he might worthily proclaim the gospel. So that moment today when I bent in front of the altar, that was a prayer. That wasn't simply a gesture in the liturgy. The prayer is very beautiful. Cleanse, O Lord, my heart and my lips, my living and my speaking. Cleanse my heart and my lips that I may proclaim your holy gospel, not mine, yours, worthily and well. And so the minister himself must pause because this is important. Because these words are important, because these words are not mine, but given to me, given to us in trust, as those privileged words where Christ speaks most fully and most powerfully. And so it continues to move to the ambo, to unlock the book, to announce the words of the gospel, and then we all do something at that moment. Again, if we pause for a second and realize that then, in addition to standing, we all do something else. When the reading is announced, the priest takes his hand and marks the text with a cross. And with the people, he takes that same cross and marks himself. And we do too. That little gesture that happens at the beginning of the gospel reading, note how significant it is when we pause. Before you can hear the words of the gospel, before I can announce them, we all do this. Know what that implies? That implies that there's another step of getting ready to listen that must happen. And why? Because the speech that comes to us from these words is important and powerful, and we need to be ready. And so just so that we're all on the same page, because it really is amazing what you see sometimes looking out at the congregation. And at that moment, we'll see people crossing themselves. We'll see people not sure what to do and looking puzzled. Every now and then, you see somebody who knows I need to do something, but I'm not sure what it is. And so the gestures can be really amazing. And that in itself is absolutely marvelous. It is absolutely marvelous because that's a person who says, I know I need to respond somehow. I'm not sure what the response is, but I'm going to try. So that we all know then what it is, we take our hands and we mark our foreheads with the sign of the cross, and then our lips, and then our hearts. It's a simple set of gestures. Many of us have grown up doing them all our lives without ever knowing why. And it often happens so quickly that we never think about it. And so let's just pause for a moment here. Because in these simple little details is hidden an awful lot, a very great wealth. And it's often the case that our participation in the Mass becomes better the more we understand the little things that we often don't notice and never get explained to us. So note how wonderful this is, because there's a prayer that can be said at this moment if we slow ourselves down. May the words of the gospel remain in my mind. Because let's be honest, how many times do we leave church and we've already forgotten what the gospel was? You know, forget the homily, but try not to forget the gospel. Those are the important words. All of these extra words that I add afterwards, if they're helpful, great. But the important words are these. These. May the words of the gospel fill my mind. Because my mind is often full of things that have nothing to do with the kingdom. Nothing to do with the gospel. My mind is filled with my insecurities and my problems. My mind is filled with my grocery list. My mind is full of who I'm going to visit this afternoon. And if I'm honest, I often have trouble paying attention, even when it's about something important. And because listening matters and paying attention matters, and it's not easy, we ask the Lord's help to open our minds that we can receive what he says to us. And then we cross our lips. May the words of the gospel speak through me. And again, if we're honest, oftentimes all kinds of words that have nothing to do with the gospel pass our lips. Oftentimes those words are the very opposite of the gospel. Because the easy word is often the negative word. The negative word is easy. The word that cuts somebody down is easy. The deceitful word is disturbingly easy. The good word, that's difficult. The word that lifts somebody up, that's not so easy. The word that consoles is not so easy. The word that's true is harder to speak than the word that's not. And so again, we need help. But note what we're doing. I'm saying, before I hear Jesus speak, I am saying, Lord, I want to listen to you. And I am saying, sooner or later, I want to be able to share what you teach me. And then there's the last one, the big gesture. Over the heart. May the words of the gospel change my heart. That's the hard one, because as much as we like to say change is good, the simple fact of the matter is next to nobody likes to actually change. The change that we think is good is when you change for me. The change that we think is good is when the world changes according to my preferences. But the notion that I need to change for somebody else, that's a lot harder. And even when I recognize I need to, it's still hard to do. And so I ask that the word help me, because I recognize that everything that Christ says is at the service of my living, of my growing toward holiness, my growing toward goodness. And that is not an easy thing, but these words are not mere information. They're words to be lived. And so it is that when the proclamation begins, if we've done that with some degree of attentiveness, the Lord is not speaking to a random group of people who just happen to show up. The Lord is speaking to those who have opened their minds and their lives to receive what he has to say. And note how in its own way, that's a marvelous preparation to receive Holy Communion later on. The more fully I can open myself to receive the Lord in his teaching, the more fully I'm going to be open to receive him when he comes to me in the sacrament. And then, when the proclamation is finished, there's still another gesture. And it's a gesture done by the priest or the deacon who proclaims. Who, when he finishes announcing the words, kisses them. It's a gesture done by the one who proclaims, in part practically because for hundreds and hundreds of years there were no such things as missalettes. And so people didn't have the text in front of them to do likewise. And so the kiss is given on behalf of the entire congregation. And when the kiss is given, the prayer is, may the words of the gospel wipe away our, not my, our sins. In other words, may the gospel of Jesus Christ purify us, cleanse us. What a beautiful prayer that is. And again, note what it says, the fundamental Catholic understanding of sacred scripture. We talked a little bit about this last week when we mentioned that we have a system for our readings as we move through Sunday after Sunday and across all the weekdays as well. And what that means is the congregation is not at the mercy of Father's preferences. Because the reality is, it's very easy just to read those passages of Scripture that are our favorites, just to read those words that we like, and to ignore the ones that are perhaps difficult or off-putting or demanding. We do enough of that in life. We don't need to do it with the speaking of Christ. And so what do? We discipline ourselves that we will hear it all. The challenging words, the consoling words, the demanding words, the affirming words. The word that brings me comfort and the word that might make me a bit frightened. But we read them all, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I'll be really honest, some days it's a lot easier to kiss those words than others. But we kiss the word every time because we recognize that all of these words are spoken to us in love and for our good. And the kiss, then, is the measure of how we want to receive that word. Not as mere information, not as simply another demand I need to meet, but as a gift to be valued, a gift to be treasured. Hidden. And note how little time all of that takes, much less time than it took me to explain it. These simple gestures, but they're all at the service of our learning to hear Him speak to us in the fullness of His truth and His goodness. This is why, from a very ancient time, the church spoke about two tables at Mass. That the Lord feeds His people first from the table of His word. And when they are well fed from the table of His word, He gathers them to the table of His altar, where He feeds them with Himself. Small wonder, then, that the Holy Father took a Sunday at the very beginning of ordinary time to say, let us pause. Let us remind ourselves of the great gift that God has given us in sacred scripture, and in particular of our experience of these scriptures as we gather for the celebration of the sacred liturgy. What a wonderful thing that is, because as St. Paul reminds us, faith comes from hearing. But then he continues, but how will people hear if no one is sent to announce? If no one speaks, who will hear? This is why it is also good today that we will have our formal installation of our lectors. Faith does indeed come from hearing, but hearing requires someone to speak clearly, someone to speak well, someone to speak not his or her own word, but the word and the truth that God has given us in trust to preserve, to proclaim, to announce, and to live. So you guys, in just a couple minutes, I will invite you forward for your formal installation. But before we do that, we will all stand together and profess the faith that we share. The creed by which we profess our faith is found on page 9 of the Pew Missals. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.